Well, now let's get into the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Mark chapter 4. If you're our guest, we've been studying through the book of Mark. And we left off in Mark chapter 4 last time, where we're going to pick up in verse 35. The title of our lesson today is The Power of Jesus. The Power of Jesus. Mark 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Amen. The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The power of Jesus. And you know, this last question that the disciples asked, isn't that the question we're here to talk about today? Isn't that the question that at Christmas time and potentially Easter time, the whole world stops to ponder more than maybe any other time? Who is this Jesus? You know, here, you got to get a picture of it. First of all, I think it's pretty awesome. Remember Mark chapter 4 last time, we talked about the teaching of Jesus. And he was teaching them through parables. And the crowd was so large, kind of like today, amen. It's good to see this place getting full. Jesus had a boat ready on the lake, and there were so many people, he's afraid of getting crowded and drown himself. So he got in the boat and sat in the boat out on the lake. And all the people were on the shore, kind of like this. Right? At the end of the day, where we pick up, he's still in the boat. He's been teaching all day. He's still in the boat. And there's all the people. And I find it really funny what Jesus says. He said, "Let's go over to the other side." It'd be kind of like the end of the sermon. "I'm just tired from preaching. And I don't really want to come out there and talk to you, Mary. Let's go over here instead. See you later." And they take him along in the boat and head for the other side. That just kind of tells me sometime it's time for fellowship to be over and you got to go somewhere else, preach somewhere else. Amen. Although you're going to find out in this church it's hard to get people to leave the building. Amen. As they're going across the lake, Jesus is taking a nap because he's tired. And this furious storm comes up. Now put yourself in the disciples' sandals. They're scared for their life. This isn't just some little deal. They're scared for their life. And imagine you're panicking. The boat is swamped. The boat is sinking. You ever feel that way about your life? And it is sinking. And they go, "There's Jesus. But he's asleep." And what in the world? How would you feel? You're dying and the Lord is sleeping. You ever feel like that? Where is God? What? Is he asleep? Be honest if you felt that way. It's all in the way they woke him up. You know, we're going to talk about the power of Jesus today, but there's a couple other things we got to talk about. How about the power of fear?
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Fear makes you do some pretty crazy things sometimes.
Yeah,
makes you say some pretty crazy things. Here, the disciples say to Jesus, Don't you care if we drown? And you learn a really good lesson from Jesus. Sometimes it's just best not to say nothing.
Come on.
Right? Because instead, he could have said, yes, why do you think I came down from heaven to die for you? Or maybe sometimes in your marriage, or your household, when you get afraid or angry and you say, don't you care? And the other one doesn't have Jesus going real good right then, and they say, no, I don't. Or, yes, I care, but only because I love Jesus, not because I love you. The disciples, hey, you're in their shoes. They felt it too. And they said to Jesus himself, don't you care? Well, he did, didn't he? And you know, sometimes we need to say what we need to say so that people can go, yes, I do. I do care. You know? Or explain, no, that's not what I was thinking. I'm sorry, that's how you feel. Here's something, what I really meant to say. Yeah. Amen, guys? Yeah. Don't you care? Jesus gets up, shh. And it goes from storm total quiet. Point number one. If Jesus is in the boat is going to float. That's the power of Jesus. When the storms hit you in your life, guys, the fact that Jesus is there with you, it ought to change everything. It ought to change everything. But fear makes us just totally forget about Jesus. And we're going to talk more about that in our second point. But if Jesus is in the boat is going to float. Amen, guys?
Yeah.
Let's read on in chapter 5. We're going to read 5, verse 1 to 20. And then we'll have our second point. And then we're going to take communion together. Amen?
Amen.
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs. You know, to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said, come out of this man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion. He replied, for we are many. And he begged him again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission. And the evil spirits came out of the pigs, or out of them, and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and began to report this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them all the Lord has done for you, how much the Lord has done for you, and how He's had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Point number two. When evil is kicking your behind, Jesus will put you in your right mind. That's the power of Jesus. When you're in the boat, and Jesus is in the boat's going to float. And when evil is possessed you, inhabited you, and you got a legion going on, Jesus will get you in your right mind. He will. That's the power of Jesus. So what's going on here? What an incredible story. So they do leave. They go to the other side. They get out. And here comes this guy from the tombs. You got to wonder, what does this guy look like? Okay? I'm trying to think who's a good current day. You know, maybe he's as big as Shaq. You know, but he's mean. He cuts himself with stones. He can't even be bound with chains. He's the kind of guy everybody here would be afraid of. But he's afraid of Jesus. Wow. He understood. Jesus could torture him. This is the Son of God. You know, one of the reasons we let evil come on in and take us over is we don't have enough fear of God. We don't. We're so full of ourselves. And by the way, self would be an evil spirit inside of you. Selfishness. Come on. We don't have this kind of reverence for God. This man that scared everybody came. And what do you think? He's running at Jesus and he's going to tackle him. No, he falls on his knees. Imagine watching it. Imagine seeing it. And you're like, imagine the guys who were just afraid they're going to lose their lives. And they realize not only can he heal the cripple, fix hands that are shriveled, but he can command the weather. And then you get out and here comes this big guy. And they're probably like this. And then they see him go to his knees in front of Jesus. Maybe that answered their question. Who is this? Who is this guy? Boom. Oh, he's God. Amen. Cleared that one up. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, why do we stop to celebrate this guy's birthday 2,000 years after he's gone? I had a chance to go out with my good friend Chris Wooden a couple days ago and have breakfast and celebrate his 52nd birthday. And my daughter asked me last week, "Dad, why do we give people presents on their birthday?" Because it's a special day. You remember the day they were born. And you're glad that they're in this world. Because they make a difference in this world. But after you're dead and gone and out of this world, and we're all headed there. Guys, we're all headed there. What if you're so awesome, you make such an impact, like Martin Luther King, George Washington, that we all stop to celebrate your birthday even after you're dead and gone? What about after you're dead and gone 2,000 years? That's the power of Jesus. And if you don't, if you're here and you're visiting today and you really don't have a grasp of, of how powerful Jesus is. He's just that little baby in the manger. You've never really studied. Ask yourself, how come we set our entire calendar by this man's birth? 2,000 years later. Wow. And I beg you, study the Bible with the person that brought you. Get deeper. Study about the power of Jesus and ask yourself, those that claim Christianity, how is the power of Jesus displayed in your life? Because that's where it really all comes to, doesn't it? Last week we talked about Philippians 2. We talked about having the same attitude as Christ. And we talked about the old recipe for joy. You want to be joyful? You're not joyful? Well, there's three things you need to do. Jesus first, J. Others next, O. And yourself last, Y. Yeah. Next time you're not full of joy, ask yourself, am I putting Jesus first right now? Am I putting others ahead of myself? Or am I putting myself up there? And is that why I'm losing my joy? Because I'm making this all about me. You know, we can write that down, and if you've been around church for a while, oh yeah, joy, I know that. Maybe you whisper it before you say it. Jesus first. Oh, excuse me, other name. Yourself first. Yeah, I've been around pews a little while. You know, I did a little quiet time with my daughter the other day, and I showed her this, and she's taking notes and writing it down. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. Okay, I got it. I said, well, now here's the real test. How's that going with your brother? Yeah. Isn't that the test, guys? We say, oh, yeah. Let me tell you about the power of Jesus. Shut up, mama. I'm preaching the word. I know dinner's ready, but I'm in a Bible study. So just keep it warm. And I hope we can make fun of ourselves a little bit today. You know, I got possessed by an evil spirit on Thursday night. And I'm embarrassed to tell you about it. But when I told Chris Wooden about it the other day, he finally got open about his stuff too. So I figured maybe if I'm open, you'll get open too. But okay, I was tired Thursday night. It had been a long day, and when you're tired, that's where the evil spirits kind of know you're right picking. And the Bears game was on. And I found myself rooting for the Bears with about the same veracity I root for my Cowboys. And I was like, no, that wasn't the evil spirit. That was actually pretty relaxing. I'm like, this is cool. I'm just relaxing a little bit. Okay, I got to recharge so I can go pour myself out some more. And then Teresa. She saw the score that it was 21-7. Bears over the Saints. And God bless her. Not knowing football, she started rooting for the Saints. Now, okay, not football. Sentimental for the losing team. Oh, those poor Saints, they're losing. I'm going to root for them. Because they're the underdog. But she didn't realize they're the number one offense in football. And they don't need any help. They can come back and win. And I don't want her to come back and win. I got really ticked off. I was really mad. And I'm like, don't you understand? And so I found myself, I couldn't even enjoy the game. I felt like Jay Shellbrack on a bad Packers afternoon. Possessed! You've seen it. Yeah, yeah. I got three witnesses up here. I couldn't enjoy the game. Instead of my normal, optimistic self going, go Bears, every mistake they made, I was like, damn it, doggone it. And every mistake they made somehow was Teresa's fault. I'm serious. I know you holy people never been there over something so silly as football. Then later, Teresa, because she's more like Jesus than I am, came and sat down by me and started rooting for the Bears. And in my sin, I felt like, good, you're learning something here. And I said, amen, honey. I'm really sorry. But do you understand now how quick they can come back? Because look at the score. So I was really broken at that point. You could tell. Amen, the Bears won. So I didn't fall away that night. Or at least if I did, I came back and got restored by the end of the evening. But the next morning, as I studied this out, I was super convicted. I was like, wow. A man with an evil spirit came to watch the Bears, you know. And so later I apologized to Teresa. I was having breakfast with Chris and Lorado for his birthday. And I said, honey, and I thought this through and I prayed this through. And I said, Teresa, you have every right to root for whoever you want to root for, whenever you want to root for them. This is your house just as much as it's my house. It just totally exposes my sin. And I'm serious. And now if she does it, we'll see if I'm clean, you know, and can heal, or if the Spirit comes back on me and I have to call Roger. But anyway, don't we get that way? Do you feel possessed, whether it's fear, like the disciples, or anger, or anxiety? Worry over your finances? What is it where your temperature changes? Your pulse quickens? Your attitude goes down the toilet? What is it?
Come on.
And I say it's the closest thing to demon possession I know of. It's definitely an evil spirit. Right? Paul said in Romans 7, why do I do what I don't want to do? It's the sin living in me that does it. But what he says is the cure. Thanks be to Jesus. That it can change. There's a couple other jewels here we got to grab before we finish. And that is, you know, when you might ask yourself, why did he allow them to go into the pigs? But he didn't allow the demon-possessed man to go with him. Why did he say yes to the demons and no to the newfound man in his right mind? Interesting, huh? Just send us in the pigs. Okay. And I'm thinking these demons had it planned all along. Because, man, evil spirits cause a lot of trouble, don't they? And so, why did they want to go in the pigs? I think all along they wanted to run them down into the lake, so there'd be 2,000 dead pig bodies floating in the lake, and that caused more trouble for Jesus. Yeah. And it did. When the people came out, they saw this man who was crazy sitting healed, but instead of being happy for him, they were afraid for their own whatever. There's 2,000 dead pig bodies floating in the water. And so instead of being happy for him, I'm more concerned about what you're going to do to change our life around here, and we don't like change. Would you please leave?
Yep. Come on.
That's what happened. I've seen this happen these days. When you study the Bible with someone and you baptize them into Jesus Christ, they change their life. And their family don't like it. There was a girl who became a Christian, good friend of mine in New York City. Her parents, They so misunderstood her becoming a follower of Jesus that they tried to pull her out of the church. And she got real open with her dad. She said, Dad, do you understand? Before I studied the Bible with these guys, I was doing drugs and sleeping around with a lot of different guys. You know what her dad said? Well, I'm glad you're not doing those things anymore, but I don't like you being a part of that church. That's the truth. Why? People are afraid of change.
Right. Yeah, come on.
And when they see you change, either they're going to be fired up, man, give me some of that. Or, well, that's good for you. But I'm good the way I am. But now let me say something to you that are true disciples of Jesus Christ. Do you get mad when Jesus says no? I was talking to Jay the other day. Jay said, you know what really makes me angry? When people are going through something and it turns out the way they wanted and they say, oh, God is faithful. But if it doesn't turn out the way they want, somehow God's not faithful.
Lay it out.
Right. Or, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, He did. He said no. How you doing with that? And we really act like little children. Like when we tell our kids no and they're mad, but you tell them yes. Oh, I love you, I love you, you're the best daddy in the whole wide world. Can we? No. Now, if you really have faith, that's the other thing you can't miss, the power of faith. Next time we're together like this, won't be next week, we're going to be having house churches next week. But in 2 weeks, we're going to finish up this chapter and talk a lot more about the power of faith. Because if you have faith in the power of Jesus, what do you have to be afraid of? Even if He tells you no, if you believe in the power of God, you're like, amen? He must know better than me. So I trust knows the answer. Now I'm going to take my direction based on that great answer. I used to live in New York City when I became a young disciple, and I was in the theater at that time, and I'd studied the Bible with other people in theater. And so I remember trying to convert actors, and I said, now what if you pray, God, let me get this part, please, 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 let me get this part, and you don't get the part? How are you going to feel about that? Oh God, you don't love me. I worked hard for that part. Why didn't you give me that part? 3 weeks later, you open the paper. Entire cast of play dies in bus accident on way to performance. Thank you, God, you didn't let me give me that part. Thank you, God. God knows best. And if you have faith in the power of Jesus, you know He knows best. So even if it's not the way you want it to be, it's okay. There's another sentiment here that at Christmas time, it's just a really awesome thing to be in the lesson today. When He asked, can I please go with you? And Jesus said, no. Go home and tell your family all that the Lord has done for you and how much mercy He's had on you. And that's what the man did. He went off and began to tell the Decapolis. For those of you who don't know, the Decapolis is a 10-city area.
Yeah.
He didn't go with Jesus, but he went off and became preacher of 10 cities. Yeah. And what was his message? Very simple. And it's the best message. If you're wondering, what am I going to say when I go home for the holidays?
Come on.
I want my family to know the power of Jesus. What scripture am I going to use? Scripture is very important, don't get me wrong. Best thing you can do is tell them how much Jesus has done in your life.
Right. Come on.
Let them see the power of Jesus in your life. And be ready, because Satan's going to try to come after you and make you act all a non-Christian while you're at home. And they're going to be like, man, I know you're preaching all this stuff, but you a mess, boy.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Get out of my living room. You know? What are you going to tell them when you go home? As we prepare to take the communion now, which is supposed to remind us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have to stop and I have to remember, and I ask you to remember, what all has Jesus done for you? I cannot imagine, I don't want to imagine my life if I was not a disciple of Jesus Christ. I know where I'd be, and I know what I'd be doing. I'd probably still be asleep from what I did last night. Or I'd be in church thinking I was fine, even though I did what I did last night, with no godly sorrow about it. Just move on. Check in, check out, get a cleansing, and keep living not like Jesus. I know that's who I would be. I remember who I was. Go to church every Sunday. Take the girl I slept with Saturday night with me on Sunday morning. And I wouldn't even sit there going, what am I doing? I just somehow thought, well, gosh, man, nobody's doing it all, right? I mean, I love God. Right? Thank God. This guy riding the subway train with me asked me to sit down and study the Bible with him. Amen. It changed my entire life. I'm on the subway. He's riding the subway. I'm the only one in the car. And he sits down and he starts asking me if I want to go to church. And I was eager to have the conversation because I go to church. Absolutely. I go to church. But then when he sat me down and opened the Bible with me, as I pray you will today if you're not a member of our church, I pray you'll sit down with whoever brought you and open the Bible and study out. We just have a few studies we do with everybody that comes so that we can make it clear what we believe from the Scriptures. My life completely changed. From that week-long of studying, because I studied pretty much every day, I was eating it up. My life totally changed. My life is nothing like it was before that week. And I can tell you all day what Jesus has done for me. I look at my wife, who I got all demonized on the other evening, and that she doesn't leave me when I do that. I look at my kids, and as many mistakes as I make, I think of all the ones I'd go further with if I wasn't a Christian. I know. I don't have any delusions of grandeur. If it weren't for the Bible being the final word in our house, I'd most likely be divorced and seeing my kids on the weekend. And one of the most amazing things about our church, if you're our guest, that's very exciting, is divorce is the most rarest of words. We've never had one in this church here. And even in our fellowship of churches, it's very rare. In most denominational churches, it's the same percentage as the world, about 50%. That's just the truth. We aren't better than anybody else. We just believe we have to obey the Scriptures. Every one. Amen. So please study the Scriptures and see what Jesus can do in your life. Let's pray for the communion. God, thank you so much for this day. I pray that we will believe in your power. And we'll trust it and we'll obey it in our lives. God, that we'll understand when you're in the boat's going to float. And when evil is really messing with us, that you can help us get in our right mind if we'll just fall on our knees before you. Thank you for this great day of celebration. And I do pray for every soul here. All of us, God, we have so much growing to do. We have so much growing to do. Thank you for your blood and your broken body. And God, we thank you for raising Jesus from the dead and giving us the hope of resurrection. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.